Welcome to the Mist Chronicles. This is your host, Pastor Cece. I am looking forward to this episode. It is, how can I say, very timely, this episode. We have been watching God do some interesting things in our midst. And with all of the understanding we think we have, I am in awe. I remain humbled and curious about God and life in the spirit. So I hope that you are ready for today's podcast because we are continuing the discussion on unspoken needs. And this time we're going to look at an unspoken need that we have in connecting with others in the area of being heard. Am I being heard? Do I know how to hear? And how does this impact my ability to connect with other people? So let's get started. Yay. To open up this episode, a researcher and her associates wanted to study the feeling of being heard. What accompanies the feeling of actually being heard? Carla Ann Roos wanted to delve into, is there a way to measure the experience of being heard? And during her research, she created this feeling heard scale. And they observed that at the interpersonal level, people feel heard when they have certain experiences. The first is they have a voice. And when they have a voice, they receive attention, they receive empathy and respect. And so on a collective level, when people are heard, there is the experience of finding common ground. Now, in any relationship we have, we are usually communicating in some form or fashion. We don't always have the same frequency or the same understanding. We have to start off somewhere. And what is important for us to embrace is this reality that not only do we want to be heard, but we're also speaking to another person, and they then have to react or respond based upon what they hear. And then we are to return the same courtesy. Being heard is a validating experience. And we can even see it in the feeling heard scale that was created, is that these particular areas of voice, attention, empathy, and respect are validating experiences, things to affirm and interact with us that we feel comfortable in what is being said. We feel comfortable in how it's being received. Now, this is not lost in the scriptures. This is research done, but in the scriptures, we have actual testimony and evidence of what that looks like and what happens when we're not heard, or there's a different response than we expect in being heard. The first example I want to point to in the scriptures is also the first time we see the word heard in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm going to say it in the New Living Translation. The scripture reads, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees." The first mention of the word heard that we see in the scripture also correlates the response of man, Adam and Eve, to run from what they hear. This is important because if you've had an adverse experience in being heard, usually emotionally there is a retreating that happens on the inside, or there is a response of anger, which is usually secondary to the experience of not being heard because it was hurtful to not be heard. And as I was looking at this scripture, it made me relive moments in which I wasn't heard. And with my own personal background of traumatic experiences, I had learned as a child to not tell my story because I wasn't heard. So I learned how to not expose or say things that were really important to me, that would have shed light on how I was being harmed or what was happening with me. I just stuffed it down. And you may have a similar experience where being heard did not bring a positive response. And what we see in the scripture is that God experienced the same thing. He experienced first the response of not being heard and being received. He was heard and was rejected because they ran and hid. The challenge with having this initial reaction to being heard by us is that depending on our resiliency and resources at the time that we are cognizant of this interaction, we may decide to not say anything anymore. For me, it became a habit to just not say anything. And when I say became, it's because you kind of dare and see. Maybe it'll be a different response the next time. What we see here with God is that God did not stop speaking. He did not stop being himself. He just had to deal with the response of Adam and Eve now. And he had to inquire further to draw them out of their obscurity, out of hiding. Many times that's not the way that we're handled by people. And yet, we still want to be heard. We still want the opportunity to be received. And I find in this scripture that because of everything that unfolded after this initial response by Adam and Eve, God still persisted to make himself known by his voice. He persisted to speak. He persisted to interact with us despite this initial reaction, which is inviting that God would show us the potential of our persistence to be heard. In our relationships with each other, when we decide to not be heard, we could be forsaking future opportunities for blessing and interaction. If God had decided, well, Adam and Eve didn't hear me, so I won't speak again, we wouldn't have faith today. We wouldn't have the experience of his love today. We could not seek him out and get answers. We wouldn't even know to do that with each other, because there would be no example. There would be no press for us. So with all that we have come to see now about God and he releasing this sound, he relates to us that we must first, you know, decide to find our voice. We must first decide to release this sound. God had decided to be sure that when he came into the garden, Adam and Eve would hear a sound. Was it the first time they heard a sound? No, but it is the first time it was recorded in scripture. It relates back to us being seen. Our previous episode of being seen and about the way that being seen gives us the courage to be seen, the courage to have confidence in who we are. With that confidence comes a voice. Because when we are truly seen, we believe that a person would feel drawn to us and want to give us some form of attention or empathy, right? Empathy being the ability to understand and share feelings. We endeavor to hope that there'll be a respect that is established, right? Even the regard with esteem, that's what we're desiring to see. It is a courageous move to continue to release your voice and to be heard. But it's not an endeavor that's lost on our Father. It's not an endeavor lost on Jesus that, you know, he would stand in a place and release his voice and say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying." Can we even venture again to hear God? Maybe to revisit a conversation with someone that we didn't quite understand before, didn't get their perspective. Can we lean in persistent to hear? Can we lean in to speak our voice again to be heard without fear of reprisal, seeing that God has gone before us doing the same? When we release our voice, and now we're starting to be heard, there's a challenge or an opportunity. For some, it's a challenge to hear what someone is saying because it may be unfavorable. Fear of reprisal, fear of criticism. But remember, being seen is coming out of the fear. It's coming out of the concern of how others see us, because now we know that God sees us. Now we're seeing ourselves in the truth that Christ has revealed. So once we're acknowledged, now we have to decide if we're going to relay ourselves truthfully and authentically. So Psalms 34 and 15 in the New Living Translation, it says, "God awaits us. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help." This means that when we're releasing our voice, the Lord is waiting. He's actually looking for us. His eyes are watching for us to follow through now. We're releasing our voice. Let's do that truthfully, not to masquerade, not to manipulate, but to truly be authentic, to be challenged, not in a negative way, but to cause us to grow in a positive way. When God asked Adam and Eve what happened, they spoke. Yet, was it truthfully? And the reason why I say that is because Adam blamed Eve. He told it in such a way that it appeared as if he was trying to abdicate responsibility. "It was this woman you gave me." As if pointing back to God, this was your setup. So the outcome is yours. But the scripture in Psalm 34 and 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help." It is important that when we release our voice, that we're actually being truthful. It is difficult to have a connection with someone and we're not practicing truth in our inwardmost parts. We're not being truthful with ourselves. So how can we be truthful with other people? Example. I have more than once worked on, okay, what's going on inside of me? What am I feeling so that I can be accountable for what I'm going to say? Can I own it and accept the response of the other person? That is very important, to be able to accept the response of the other person, whether favorable or unfavorable, because I truly want to be heard and I also want to hear them. Doesn't matter the topic. Is that a challenge? Yes, because I have to be aware of myself as well as aware of the circumstances that I am facing with this other person. Being heard isn't just about releasing the sound. Remember, it's also about the attention. Will they take the time to actually be present with me to hear? That's not always guaranteed. And we can often use our previous history or interaction with a person to judge if they will listen. The problem with this is that it does not allow us to put any hope in God. It does not allow us to look to God to direct us on if this is the right timing to speak to this person. Because the Lord goes before us as believers, it means that He knows the right timing. He knows the other person's situation. And if we could just rely on the Father and His sovereignty and listen as the Holy Spirit leads us, we may find an opportune time that we are not only heard, but we have this experience of being heard, which is empathy and respect and adequate attention, where we find common ground with the other person. Because with Psalm 34 and 15, when we have common ground, the end of that scripture says His ears are open to their cries for help. Even giving the opportunity for one to share their experience and not judging it. Judging it means deciding if it's right or wrong. Every person is worth the respect of holding their own opinion, even if it's not based upon what we think it should be upon. Because here's the reality. Though we are two people in the same experience, it doesn't mean that we're experiencing it the same. I have my background, you have your background. Being respectful to the other person is honoring that their background is different. So they're allowed to say, well, I disagree with that. Okay. Two experiences can coexist. We don't have to agree on that experience. Can we agree that we're both having an experience? See, that's common ground. Now, what you decide to do with it, okay. And what I decide to do with it, okay. But sometimes we go into our connections with so much, the word that comes to mind is baggage, but it's not really baggage. It's just rehearsed ideas that we prevent a challenge to be presented. We resist the contradiction that maybe that previous held information is not proper because different people are a part of this circumstance. Though the circumstance may look similar, it's different timing. I'm a different person now than I was then. Maybe the other person is different. There's so many variables there that to shut down the opportunity to be present and available now to be heard undermines our truest desire to have connection with other people. If you want to understand a little more about the right verses without error, you can see it in the verses 12 and 14 that precede Psalm 34 and 15. And verse 14 particularly says, turn away from evil and do good, search for peace and work to maintain it. That is important when we're deciding to be heard, is that we're willing to turn away from our anger, turn away from any wickedness that we may have done, and then seek to do that which pleases God. Searching for peace just means that we're looking for a way to resolve peacefully the circumstances or the situation that we're facing. being amicable with someone does not necessarily mean that we come to the same resolve or a sense of agreement. It's that we accept sometimes just the difference in our perspectives. That's still peaceful. And we work to maintain it. That's inner work. It's not necessarily work with the other person. It's our own personal effort to maintain peace, which means that if I walk away, great example, Holy Ghost, I'm in an interaction with someone and it seems like we've come to an agreement. I walk away and maybe there's mumbling or a person may go and have another conversation beyond a conversation we've had. My work to maintain it is that I hold to what my interaction was with that person last. I'm not going to come out of peace because someone tries to report to me what they saw or what they heard and all of the other foolishness. I stay where I had peace and I put my confidence in God being the witness to what occurred when the peace was obtained. Wisdom is principle. I'm not going to allow my feelings to be riled up. Well, how dare they? How are they going to come back and do something different? No, I'm going to stay with this conversation until that person that I had the conversation with brings it to me. That's my work. It's not my work to make sure that person does what they said to me to do. It's my work to do the part that I committed to because I'm responsible for my action. Too many times we forsake peace by getting caught up in things that have nothing to do with the peace that Christ gave us individually. We must seek to maintain peace, pursue peace with all. This is how we can begin to do that work and undo the chains or the historical rehearsal of things that bind us back up. Small steps can make a huge difference. Small steps, personal steps, introspective steps, things that pertain to us versus the external. You know, in psychology, they talk about an internal or external locus of control. In other words, what directs you? Is it from what's happening around you or from what's happening within you? And because we have Christ and Christ now abides and Holy Spirit has made his home because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our souls are being converted. It means that we should be growing every day more and more in operating from an internal locus of control. It should be coming from within. Philippians 4 speaks of to think on those things that are lovely. Right? Change our thought patterns, pure, true, of a good report. Internal locus of control versus external locus of control. How are we doing allowing Holy Spirit to govern us? Allowing Holy Spirit to lead us and being dependent upon that to make healthy decisions. Hallelujah. So we're going to turn to John 21, 15 through 17. And Jesus requests of Peter the same thing three times. The same thing three times. He asks Peter about his degree of love for him. Now, one time he asks, versus these fish, how much do you love me versus this possession? Isn't that an interesting question? Now, we see fish. That's not a big deal. But fish was a way of income. So to make it fitting for where we are today, what is our degree of love for Jesus versus the love for our possessions, for our status, for our reputation as we see it? What's our love for it over our love for Jesus? And then the other two times, he asked Peter just about loving him. Not about versus anything else, but in full view of who I am. Now that you see that I'm the resurrected king, I am the Messiah as you've been witnessing, but now this has come to fullness. This has manifested fully. What do you think now? How do you love me now? Have we reached that? Have we reached the place in our relationship with God that we truly can see him as our Lord and our Savior? Can we truly see this life that he's given us as prominent and most important? Can we see it now? Is it precious enough to us? And if so, to what degree do we love Jesus? Now, mind you, this is all in hearing. Jesus is speaking and Peter is having to hear. Jesus is digging deep into his depth of hearing him by asking him three times. And Peter starts to feel the discomfort of this dig, of this challenge to his hearing. Have we felt that way about the Lord? That there's some conversations we try not to visit again. And here come the Lord wanting to talk about it again. Hey, I saw how you responded to this circumstance. And we shrug it off. We don't want to hear the Lord speak about that. Leave that area alone. Peter grew in distress with Jesus' questions. Understand that sometimes that's how we respond. It's uncomfortable sometimes for the Lord to want to inquire about these areas of our lives. But when we're truly hearing God and he's available to hear us, he's wanting to help us to see and grasp a particular viewpoint, a particular angle on a situation to furnish us. It's not to harm us, but it's to draw us into the greater. The only way to know that and be comfortable with that is based upon our faith in God. The rehearsal of our testimony in God. Sometimes we become so separated from our testimony that it seems like a narrative versus a lived experience. Oh yeah, I remember when he healed me from cancer. Oh yeah, I remember, you know, how he set me free from demonic bondage. Yeah, God is good. But the experience now of God being good is minimized. You know, recently incurring a huge transition in my life. There is this dual experience of grief, but one of hope. I have this hope that also occurred with this grief. And I had to remember and rehearse how good God is so that the grief would not be louder than the hope. Because I was hearing in connection with God, I was hearing the sound of God while I was also hearing the grief in my soul. We like to think that it's one or the other. But as you grow in God, you come to realize that you can have a dual experience. Here's an example of what I mean by that. Jesus was physically enduring torment and torture, but he was spiritually having hope in God. He knew that he was pleasing the Father, that at the end of his experience of crucifixion, he committed his spirit to God. See, the act of hope was committing his spirit to God. We can do the same thing based upon our hearing. And Jesus, in his conversation with Peter, was helping him to dig into this grasp, understand the depth of relationship that he had formed with Peter, that Peter would be able to truly respond in love to Jesus, that they would uncover the greater for their relationship. Unspoken needs, particularly of being heard, will avail an opportunity for us to speak and to hear, should we dare to truly live in truth and in response to what God is saying to us. So to close this, I want to help us to understand further what Jesus was doing with Peter. Jesus had the voice. Remember, we talked about the feeling heard scale is one, you got to have a voice. So Jesus had the voice, and he was now imparting to Peter. He was stirring up and activating Peter's voice. Because he knew the journey that Peter was about to embrace. And what would happen is that in Peter hearing, then Peter could begin to manage his attention. He could begin to direct his attention to the right places. He would begin to direct his empathy, because in Jesus being heard, Peter was being drawn into empathy for what he was hearing. Peter would also be able to direct his empathy. And in maintaining respect for Jesus, then Peter was able to give respect and regard for his own voice, as well as learning how to give that to others. Jesus and Peter found common ground in this encounter of hearing and interacting. Because the common ground that was uncovered is in verses 16 and 17, when Jesus tells him about what his days ahead will look like. Peter was going to suffer a crucifixion or suffer death in a similar way as Jesus. But now, because of Peter being able to actually hear Jesus with all of himself, without fear, without, concern about other people's stuff, which Jesus did also address, he would be able to fully embrace the path that was ahead for him. As Jesus's disciples, we are to hear him. Because what Christ does in our hearing him, he empowers our living and he ensures our connections. So healing becomes just as absolute as our victory because we've heard him. And all of this is accomplished through Jesus. Jesus, God, the plan, the will of the Father is that we be able to hear his voice. And instead of retreating as Adam and Eve, we will be drawn in. Instead of being grieved and frustrated that the Lord wants to have this conversation again, we understand that this is his manner of bringing us into deeper connection. In relationships with people, because we have different communication styles, sometimes we have to have the same conversation a different way. In marriages, it happens often. Sometimes in siblinghood, it happens often, right? And when that happens, sometimes we're like, what didn't you get the first time? Why aren't you getting this? Yet we're so different, though we are experiencing the same circumstances. So it serves us well to be patient with one another, to be curious about one another, that we may fortify a solid connection of safety, of exchange, right? That just like Jesus asked this question until Peter became distressed, now Peter is listening in response. He's now responding to hear, truly seeing how he wasn't really like hearing initially. This is our joy. This is our growing point for having a healthy relationship with God as well as with ourselves. The power of affirmation is that you're actually hearing yourself say these words, and they're nourishing to you as you say them. When I do affirmations, I have to slow down. I have to pause sometimes. You know, I'm pausing to be still. I'm pausing to let it work on the inside. Sometimes I have to pause because the tears begin to well up as I hear the truth from my own voice to myself. The power of hearing truly without fear is just what they talked about in the research. You actually do feel heard because you find common ground. Let's make better connections. Let's take the opportunity to connect with God that we may connect with ourselves better. And in hearing God better, we hear ourselves better, which gives us the attention, the empathy, and the respect for others to hear them. I'll close with this. I'm a parent. So if you've been a parent of more than one kid, you can have competing voices speaking all at the same time. But just like with those children, we have to say, okay, give me 1 second. And we're going to start with this child. Sometimes we have to do that in life. We can't handle all of it at one time. So I encourage us to choose one area to start where we want to take some steps, slow it down a little bit to hear the other person, to hear God, maybe to hear ourselves, that we don't have to go unheard any longer. Thank you so much for joining me in this episode. I am believing God that every day you're seeing more and you're experiencing more of God in your midst. By your listening and doing better in your life, by what we are sharing with you, we are made better as well. We are on TikTok and Instagram as the.mist.tx. Follow us there. Every Tuesday, a new episode will be available. So subscribe, share, and interact with us. Blessings and peace to you. Until next time.